السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. So we're going to continue with our fourth class covering the 40 hadith of An-Nawawi. And we covered in the past the first hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, which was narrated on the authority of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And in that hadith, or in the study of that hadith, we covered a basic biography of Umar radiallahu anhu. And we said, of course, that he was the second Khalifa of the Prophet ﷺ, and we mentioned some of the points of the hadith, and we also covered a biography for the second hadith of Jibril alayhi salam and some of his virtues. We also covered the story of the hadith, in which we talked about the circumstances in which Jibril alayhi salam attended that blessed gathering of the Prophet ﷺ with his companions, his characteristics, and why those characteristics played a role in cementing the lessons learned from that hadith. And we continue in this hadith, the hadith of Jibril alayhi salam. The beginning of the hadith, we talked about how he came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam questions, and we stopped after explaining the segment in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught him about Islam. And to review, we mentioned that Islam, when mentioned alone, and Iman, when mentioned alone, they both point to the general and whole understanding of Islam. But when mentioned together, each word, each term has its own precise meaning. So when the Prophet ﷺ was asked about Islam in the hadith, Jibreel ﷺ said, "Mal Islam?" or "Akhbirni an al-Islam." The Prophet ﷺ said, he answered in a way in which he answered with the apparent matters of Islam. He said that Islam is what? He said, أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. That the Prophet ﷺ said, after Jibreel asked him, أخبرني عن الإسلام, inform me about Islam, the Prophet ﷺ said, it is that you testify that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad ﷺ is the Messenger of Allah, and that you establish Salah, and that you give Zakah, and that you fast Ramadan, and that you make Hajj, if you are able to do so. So the Prophet ﷺ answered with the apparent matters of the Islamic belief. Yet when mentioning or when answering the question about Iman, Jibreel alayhi salam said to him, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِيمَانِ, so tell me about Iman. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, أَنْ تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. The Prophet ﷺ answered when asked about what Iman is, he answered with those matters which are not apparent to those who look at Islam. He said, أن تؤمن بالله, that you believe in Allah سبحانه وتعالى, وملائكته, and his angels, وكتبه, and his books and scriptures, ورسله, and his messengers, واليوم الآخر, and that you believe in the last day, وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره, and that you believe in القدر, or preordained destiny. And Jibreel alayhi salam said to him, Sadaqta, that you have told the truth. So here we find that when Islam and Iman have been mentioned in the same speech, in the same segment, or in the same conversation or context, we find that each one has its own specific meaning. And the Prophet ﷺ answered with those hidden affairs, and we'll go into some of those. Firstly, the Prophet ﷺ answered with the most important pillar of these six pillars of Iman, which is the belief in Allah. أن تؤمن بالله, that you believe in Allah. And this belief in Allah, there is no benefit to the other pillars without this pillar. You cannot believe in Allah's angels, nor Allah's books, nor His messengers, if you do not believe firmly in Allah. And to believe in Allah is to firstly believe in His existence, to know that He is Allah, Most High, to believe in His existence, and then also to believe in His rububiyyah, in His lordship, that Allah is the one who creates, He gives life, He gives death, or He causes to die. Allah is the one that provides our sustenance. That rububiyyah, that belief that Allah is the only one who is able to do what He does. So in other words, it is to testify that Allah is alone in His actions. He has no partners in giving life, in giving sustenance, in creating, in causing to die, and in generally managing and bringing about all that is around us. Next is to believe in Allah's uluhiyyah, that Allah is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. So in the first one, it was Allah's oneness in His actions, and then Allah's oneness in our actions towards Him. So He's the only one that we call upon, He's the only one that we pray to, He's the only one that we slaughter for. And finally, after that, we go to the third aspect of Tawheed, and that is al-asma wa sifat, the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with all of the most beautiful descriptions, all of the descriptions in which Allah is described to be complete, all of those that are befitting of Him. So Allah is the Most High. Allah knows all. Allah is ever living. Allah does not die. And with that last one, we also deny or negate all attributes of naqs, or all attributes in which there are flaws. So Allah does not sleep, He does not starve or feel hunger, Allah does not need. So He subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we believe in Him, al-imanu bihi, when we believe in Him, we believe in His existence, we believe in rububiyyah, that He alone is the one who can do what He does, He has no partners. We believe in His uluhiyyah, that He alone is the one that we worship. And then we believe in the oneness of His, or the uniqueness of His asma wa sifat, His names and attributes. And you can find all of these three aspects of Tawheed in the first ayah that you recite in the Quran. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, when we say that all praise is due to Allah, we have made that form of ibadah, which is Alhamd, we made it solely for Allah. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen, He is the Rabb, the Lord and the Sustainer of Al-Alameen, of the worlds, of all of the worlds or realms. So His being the Lord and Sustainer is from His Rububiyyah, that these are those actions which He has no partners in. And then finally, when we said Allah and we said Rabbil Alameen, these are names and attributes of Allah. So our belief in Allah is cemented throughout Surah Al-Fatiha and throughout our day, from the first surah to the last surah of the Quran. These three aspects, you will find them always prevalent. The last surah in the Quran, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, same thing, أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, I seek refuge from in the Lord of mankind. Here, seeking refuge is an action that is only for Allah. This is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. رَبِّ النَّاسِ, He is the Lord and Sustainer of mankind. And these are from Allah's actions. and also Rabb al-Nas. Rabb is one of Allah's names, Ar-Rabb. And some of the ulama said that Ar-Rabb is the highest name of Allah, Ismullah al-A'zam, and there's a lot of ikhtilaf in that subject. But in general, our belief in Allah is the core pillar of the rest of the pillars of Iman. And on a side note, you will find that the Tawheed of Allah is one of the easiest aspects to call people to Islam through. And that's because the Rububiyyah of Allah, or the Lordship of Allah, or the oneness of Allah in His actions, it has an innate nature to call people to worship Allah when you are able to connect with a person, a non-Muslim, and explain to them some of Allah's creation, or even question them that who is it that created all that is around us? Who is it who made this and that? And you give them explanations of it, as is mentioned in the Quran. Then you find them, if they have that fitrah, that nature in them, then you find them answering. So as Allah says in the Quran, أَمَّنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَأَنزَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَنبَتَ بِهِ حَدَائِقَ ذَاتَ بَهْجَةٍ. That Allah says in the Quran, then who is it that created the heavens and the earth and brought down from those heavens water, and from that water that He caused beautiful gardens to germinate? Those that you would never be able to cause to germinate. أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is there another God worthy of worship along with Allah? أَإِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ. So in many of these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that the rububiyyah is a source to cause the kuffar to admit to first the existence and presence of Allah, and then that He is the one worthy of their worship. And when we call the kuffar to Islam, it's a lot easier to call them to believe in Allah and submit to His will than to find, as some people try to do when they give da'wah, they try to find contradictions in scripture and they use other types of methods of da'wah. No, it's always easier to use the methodology of the prophets, all of them. They used to call to tawheed, and it makes it much easier for the person to accept, because it doesn't leave much room for interpretation. After having finished with the first pillar, Al-Imanu Billah, or Antu'mina Billah, we come to the Iman, or belief in the angels. And that is that they are a creation from Allah's creation. And Allah created them from Nur, from light, as is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. And that these angels, from their characteristics, is that they have wings. And we mentioned some of this when we described Jibreel alayhi salam. And if the brothers can discuss amongst them, and the sisters, do you remember we said how many wings does Jibreel alayhi salam have? We said that in the Quran, Allah said that He created angels with wings in pairs and threes and fours. And then we mentioned that specifically Jibreel alayhi salam had how many? He has 600 wings. And that is from, that is established, that is something that is mentioned in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And the angels that we believe in, their numbers are uncountable for us, unfathomable. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created so many of them. And one of the proofs regarding that is the mentioning of the Prophet ﷺ of Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur, a place in the highest heaven, in the seventh heaven. And Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur, to imagine it would be to imagine something similar to the Kaaba, that every day 70,000 angels come to the Bayt al-Ma'mur, they visit Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur, never to return to it ever again. That gives a general idea of the amount of angels that Allah has created. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentions that Jahannam will be brought and it will have 70,000 reins, like a rope or a lead. And each rein from those reins will be pulled by 70,000 angels. So I don't mean to cause you to go into a realm of imagination, but to try and understand how great Allah's creation is and how numerous the malaika are. And from the malaika, Allah has created them with different jobs. Some of them are in charge of the wahi, of revelation, as we know is Jibreel alayhi salam's job. And some of the malaika are in charge of rain and sustenance. Some of them are charged with death. We know that there is the angel of death, and the ulama mentioned that the angel of death also has other malaika that assist him. And some of the angels are in charge of other matters, like what happens in the womb. And those who are in charge of matters regarding Jannah, paradise, and Jahannam, hellfire. And all of the malaika, they submit fully to Allah's orders, as Allah says in the Quran, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ, that they don't disobey, Allah in anything that He orders them, and they do what they are ordered. And we have some of the malaika whose names we know, and they were mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah. And I hope, and we'll give you some moments to think about it, but I hope that amongst the students who are revising and learning with us in this class, I hope we can come about with at least four names of specific angels. So I'm going to give you a few moments to think about that. We have names of the malaika that are mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah. So we need four names. And the first one you already have, which is Jibreel alayhi salam. We mentioned him. And this is the hadith of Jibreel. So who are some of the other malaika that are mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah? And the brothers and sisters can either speak amongst themselves or freely speak. That's up to you. So along with Jibreel, we have Mikael. And Jibreel's name is pronounced two ways, Jibreel and Jibra'il. And Mikael is also pronounced Mikal. That's two. And we also have Israfil, which is the angel that blows the horn. That's three. And hopefully, brothers and sisters could come up with at least one more. We know that there's one mentioned in the Quran by his name, and that is Malik, the keeper of Jahannam. And the people of Jahannam say, Ya Malik, liyaqdi alayna rabbuk. That, O Malik, please ask your Lord to kill us, to end us, because of the torment that they go through in Jahannam. May Allah save us from Jahannam, and may Allah not make us of those who spend even the blink of an eye in Jahannam. So Malik is the fourth name, and we also have other names like Munkar and Nakir, and as is mentioned in the Sunnah, Ridwan, keeper of Jannah. So the Malaika have names, the Malaika have numbers which we have no possible way of fathoming. We believe in them, those named and those who weren't named. And we believe that everything in the Quran and the Sunnah, the authentic Sunnah about the Malaika, is true. After having finished with that brief discussion about the Malaika, we move on to the Iman or belief of or in the books and scriptures. And similar to the Malaika, there are those books and scriptures that were mentioned to us and those that weren't mentioned to us. But we believe overall that they are all from Allah, and that they were revealed upon the different messengers of Allah, and that they are all haqq, they're all truth, and that they are all from the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of them guide mankind to that which brings about their good and their happiness in this dunya and the akhirah. And that they warn mankind from all those things that cause them to be losers in the dunya and the akhirah. And from the books and the scriptures that were mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah, I'd like also our brothers and sisters to think about some of the books. We want three books or scriptures that were mentioned in the Quran or the Sunnah. Three that were named. So of course we have our book, the last and final revelation, the Quran, and we have a few others that were mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah. Hopefully you all can come about with some of the names. We've got a Torah, which was mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah, and Al-Injil, and we have Al-Zabur, we have Suhuf Ibrahim, which were the scrolls of Abraham in a very crude translation of them. So we know that Musa alayhi salam was given the Torah, and we know Isa alayhi salam was given the Injil, and we know the Zabur was given to Dawood alayhi salam, and we also know that the Quran, our Quran, which was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we also know that it also has a few different names. So the Quran is known as Al-Kitab, and it is known as Al-Furqan, and it is known as Al-Dhikr. We believe in all of the books that were revealed to all of the prophets, and we know that many of them were not mentioned to us by their name, but they all have that general characteristic of being Allah's speech and guiding people to all that is good and warning them from all that is evil. And to believe in the books, you have to have already believed in Allah and the angels, as the angels are the agents through which the books are revealed. Jibreel alayhi salam brings the revelation from Allah, and that revelation is Allah's speech, wahi. And then, naturally, having believed in the books, we come to the fourth aspect, and that is belief in the messengers of Allah, those men of high status from the sons of Adam, and Adam alayhi salam being the first Nabi, the first prophet. We believe that the Rusul, the messengers, were given revelation. And there's a small difference between the messenger and the prophet. We know that all messengers are prophets, but not all prophets are messengers. And the general way of differentiating, there are many many statements that try to make it easy to differentiate between the status of a prophet and a messenger. We say that all messengers are prophets, but not all prophets are messengers. And the difference is that a messenger is given a new book, a new revelation is brought down upon them, whereas prophets that are not messengers, they enact and execute the revelation that was sent to the one before them. So for example, we have Musa alayhi salam, who received the Torah, and we have Harun alayhi salam, his cousin, who was also a prophet. So we would find that Musa alayhi salam and Harun, and there are many other prophets from Bani Israel, we found that they would execute the matters of deen through the revelation that came before them. So Bani Israel, they had many prophets and a few messengers. So the messengers that we know of are the likes of Nuh alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam and Dawood alayhi salam and others. We believe in all of them, the prophets and the messengers. And amongst the messengers, we believe in the books that they brought, those that we know of and those that we don't know of. So we know that from the messengers, there are those that were mentioned in the Quran and those that were not mentioned. And those mentioned in the Quran are 25 messengers. 18 of them were mentioned in Surah Al-An'am. And I hope that amongst the brothers and sisters, we can try to bring about at least 10 names. 10 names of messengers and prophets, alayhim salatu wassalam. The ayat in Surah Al-An'am mention 18 of the 25 mentioned in the Quran. And I'll just mentioned this ayah or this series of ayat, and you can try to catch some of those names. If you weren't able to mention 10 off the top of your head, inshallah, hearing these ayat, you'd be able to catch some of those names. Allah says in the Quran, وَتِلْكَ حُجَّتُنَا آتَيْنَاهَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَّن نَشَاءُ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ حَكِيمٌ عَلِيمٌ وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ كُلًّا هَدَيْنَا وَنُوحًا هَدَيْنَا مِن قَبْلُ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِهِ دَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ وَأَيُّوبَ وَيُوسُفَ وَمُوسَى وَهَارُونَ وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَزَكَرِيَّا وَيَحْيَى وَعِيسَى وَإِلْيَاسَ كُلٌّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَالْيَسَعَ وَيُونُسَ وَلُوطًا وَكُلًّا فَضَّلْنَا عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. So Allah mentions in these ayat from Surah Al-An'am, and I'll just translate them quickly, or translate the meanings of these ayat, that is our hujjah or proof. وَتِلْكَ حُجَّتُنَا آتَيْنَاهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. We gave it to Ibrahim. عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. We gave this proof to Ibrahim upon his people, or against his people. نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَّن نَشَاءُ. That we raise in ranks those whom we will. Inna rabbaka hakimun alim. Verily your Lord is ever wise and ever knowledgeable. Wa wahabna lahu Ishaqa wa Ya'qub. And that we gave to Ibrahim alayhi salam, we gave him his sons Ishaq and Ya'qub. Of course, we know Ya'qub alayhi salam had a nickname or another name, and that was Israel. And from him, we have Bani Israel. Right? So Allah says about Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبُ. We gave him إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبُ. كُلًّا هَدَيْنَا. Each one of them we guided. وَنُوحًا هَدَيْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِ. And Nuh alayhi salam, Noah, we guided before. So we have Ibrahim, also known as Abraham in Western language, Ishaq, Isaac, Ya'qub, Jacob, Wanuhan, Noah, Wanuhan Hadayna min qabl, and we guided Nuh before them, because Nuh alayhi salam came before Ibrahim and Ishaq and Ya'qub. Wamin dhurriyatih, and from his children, meaning Ibrahim alayhi salam, Dawood wa Sulaiman. Dawood, David, wa Sulaiman, Solomon, wa Ayyub, wa Yusuf, Ayyub, Job, wa Yusuf, Joseph, wa Musa wa Harun, Musa and Harun, Moses and Aaron. وَكَذَٰلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And that is how we reward the muhsineen, the people of ihsan, the well-doers or the good-doers. وَزَكَرِيَّا وَيَحْيَا وَعِيسَى وَإِلْيَاسَ. Zechariah, I believe that's the general translation. وَيَحْيَا, John. وَعِيسَى, Jesus. وَإِلْيَاسَ, I'm not sure what the translation of إِلْيَاسَ is. كُلٌّ مِّنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Ismail, the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the brother of Ishaq, or Ishmael in English. Wal Yasa', Elijah. Wa Yunus, Jonah. Walut, Lot. Wa kullan faddalna 'ala al-'alamin. And all those that we mentioned in these ayat, faddalna 'ala al-'alamin, we gave them virtue. Allah says subhanahu wa ta'ala that we chose them and praised them, and we made them more virtuous than all of the rest. So those were 18 of the messengers and prophets that were mentioned in one set of ayat in Surah Al-An'am. And besides them, there are seven others. We said there's 25 mentioned in the Quran. And those seven others are Adam, alayhi salam, the father of all mankind, and Idris, the son of Adam, and Hud, and Salih, and Shu'aib, and Dhul Kifl, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa sallallahu alayhim jami'an, all of the messengers. And we believe in our belief of or in the angels and the books and the prophets, in our belief of the prophets or messengers, we believe that they are all righteous men. And we know from the Quran and the Sunnah that all of the messengers were men and not women. And we all know that they were from the dwellers of cities and they weren't nomads. And Allah says in the Quran, and we never sent the message before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except to men upon whom we reveal narration, revelation. إلا رجالا نوحي إليهم. And those messengers and prophets, we know that they are the most noble of people, and we know that they are of the highest pedigree when it comes to their characteristics and their truthfulness. And we know that all of the messengers were of the noblest of lineage. As the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about himself, that he is from Ibrahim alayhi salam. And from Ibrahim alayhi salam, that the Prophet ﷺ is from Ismail, and that from the sons of Ismail, from Adnan, and so on until he reached his closest lineage, which was his father and his grandfather. So we know that the Anbiya, the messengers, are from noble lineage. They're not lowly people. And in believing in these messengers, we believe in all that they came with, from rulings and also information, like the stories which they told us about those who came before. And as the ulama say, the Qur'an, our book, generally can be broken up into four types of information. We have the Tawheed and belief in Allah as one aspect. We also have rulings in which Allah ordains the halal and the haram. And then we have stories or historical matter that tells us about those who came before us. So these prophets, when they came with this revelation, we believe in all of it, all that came. And we believe that some of it might abrogate that which came before it. So we know in the time of Isa alayhi salam and some of the previous messengers, matters like alcohol might have been allowed, but were then forbidden in our Sharia, in our law. And other matters might have been less less precise. And then in our Sharia, Allah caused them to have more rulings attached to them. So we have things like divorce. There's a hadith in which Ibrahim alayhi salam visited the home of Ismail alayhi salam and found that he wasn't there. And it's a well-known hadith in which basically Ibrahim alayhi salam encountered two different women that Ismail alayhi salam was married to. The first one was a woman that spoke ill of her situation and spoke ill. And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Give my salam to Ismail and tell him that Ibrahim came and tell him to change the threshold of his home." And Ismail alayhi salam understood that to mean to divorce the woman, and he divorced her. And later Ibrahim alayhi salam came again and he found a dutiful woman that mentioned good things and spoke well. And Ibrahim alayhi salam told her, "Tell Ismail to make the threshold of his home firm, or to make it established," in which Ismail alayhi salam understood it to be a praise of the wife and to keep her. Some of the ulama mentioned that in this hadith we found that the law of divorce or the rulings of divorce were not as intricate in that Sharia or in that legislation as they are in our legislation, in which we have the rulings of the Iddah and we have the rulings of we have those different rulings that are connected to more intricate matters of the deen. And the last, or the fifth aspect of Iman that we need to believe in, that we must believe in, is Iman in the last day, Al-Yawm Al-Akhir. And at that point we'll stop inshallah, and hopefully we can cover in coming classes the fifth pillar, Al-Iman Bil-Yawm Al-Akhir, believing in the last day. And then finally the sixth pillar, Al-Iman Bil-Qadr, or Iman in destiny or preordained destiny. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.